Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing to teach on financial stewardship, and for the last few days I've been teaching from Luke chapter 16 about a parable that Jesus gave where a man who was a steward for a rich man had been stealing money from his master. His master found out about it and said, "Get your books together. If what I've heard is true, I'm going to fire you." And this man knew it was true. He knew he was going to lose his job. So he went out and began to take his position and his master's money. And he still stole money from his master. But instead of taking it personally, he began to give it to people and use this money to bribe them so that when he was fired, he could go mooch off of them because they would be obligated to him because he'd given them so much money. And the amazing thing about this, and I've been focusing on this for 2 days, is that the master commended this man. And the main point I want to get across is why he commended the man. But for the last 2 days, I've been stuck on just talking about how unusual it is that a person who is having money stolen from them would be detached enough from their money, objective enough to actually find something to compliment the person who was stealing money from them over. And to me, this says something about financial stewardship that I think is profound. And that is that you need to recognize that you are blessed of God and that that is the real asset. The favor, the blessing of God is the real important thing. Now, the money and the asset, the things that that blessing of God produces are necessary. You use them, you steward them, but we live in a fallen world. There will be times that your assets go up and down. Things work better. The stock market is up and down and this and that. But if your faith is in God and in His blessing on you, and if that's what you're focused on, and if your trust is in Him, then when you have somebody steal from you or something happen to your bottom line, you aren't devastated by it because God's the one that gave you everything you had in the first place. And if something happens and if you lose it or if it's stolen from you, God will give it back to you. I've given a number of examples of mine personally of how this worked. You know what I want to do today? I've got one of these testimonies in this new series that we've put out entitled Financial Breakthroughs. And we've got Rick and Mitzi Pudlow, who our television crew went out and interviewed, and they've put together this little video about them. And I've seen these people. They've come to my meetings a number of times, but this is the first time I've ever really heard their story, and it fits perfectly in what we're talking about. They got born again, and they didn't have anything. They were actually sleeping in a Volkswagen car when Mitzi was pregnant. That is amazing. They had nothing, but they got hold of the Word, began to believe they were blessed. They made God their source. What a blessing these people have been, and they have come from virtually nothing. And I believe it's a great testimony about the faithfulness of God once you understand that He is your source. So I'd like you to watch this DVD that our television department has put together. I think it's going to really minister to you, and I'll be back right at the end of this video.
How do two young pot-smoking hippies go from wandering America's back roads to a place of financial success and abundance? Only by making the right moves. This is the Rick and Mitzi Pudlow story.
We started doing drugs together and stayed stoned pretty much for about 2 years.
In this hippie stage that we were in, we lived together. And so one day, I can remember we were sitting in a roast beef restaurant, and it was a Tuesday, and she gave me an ultimatum. She said, "Are you going to marry me or what?" So I said, "Look, if I get a job this week, we'll get married." Well, I got a job the next day, and so Friday we drove to Tennessee to get married, and we went to the judge, went to the courthouse to get married, and he looked at us and he said, "You know what?" He said, "If you put Jesus in the center of your marriage, you'll never have any problems." And I never forgot that.
I kept seeking God as a Baptist girl. I knew that I was far from what God had for me. I kept encouraging Rick to go to church, and he desired to live a godly life. Every night he'd smoke a joint and read his Bible. So he was doing the best he could with what he knew.
It got to the point where I knew I had to get saved. I needed God in my life because drugs were having an effect on me. All my friends were druggies. And I knew that if I didn't get God in my life, I was either going to end up dead or in jail. I got up one night, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went out in my garden, and we lived out in the country and had a garden. And I just fell on my knees in the dirt, and I didn't make any confession of faith. I didn't ask forgiveness for my sins. It was just like my heart. It was like my heart called out to God, and He touched me. And I raised my head and I looked up to heaven, and it was like the stars and the moon were a witness to what happened. And I got up out of the dirt, and I was a changed person. I mean, I was radically saved. And I knew that God was in my life.
And He was remarkably and amazingly changed. It was a huge transformation. And so we knew we had to get out of Kentucky because our friends were all druggies, and it was just a bad situation all the way around.
We were going to leave Kentucky, and we were going to move to Oregon. And we figured Oregon was as far away as we could get in the continental United States. So we were going to go to Oregon. So we had a yard sale, and we sold everything we had, and I think everything we had brought $700 or $800.
And off we went. We packed our little Volkswagen and our Schnauzer and headed out.
We went up to Iowa, across Montana. Everywhere we went, we were looking to see if we could find work, if we could live there. And so we got to Oregon. It took us about 5 days. To get to Oregon. We got to Oregon and almost got divorced in Oregon. I mean, we had a tremendous fight. The weather was bad. It was rainy. It was cold. And finally, we reconciled and we turned south.
And we were on the road about 6 weeks. We had sleeping bags. We slept on the road most of the time. And when we would scrounge up a few of our pennies, we would get a hotel. We absolutely had to have one to take showers. And long story short, we ended up in Boulder, Colorado.
We got down to about $125 to our name. And Mitzi went and she was taking a shower, and I got down beside my knees on the bed, and I said, "Lord, this is it. You know, we're running to the end here." Well, I picked up a newspaper and I checked the want ads, and I called about a job in Boulder, Colorado. And I went down and interviewed for the job, and I got a job that day paying me more money than I'd ever made in my life. And so this is great. And it was like we were celebrating. It was like, now we need a place to live. Well, anyway, I went into this real estate office, and there was a woman in there. Her name was Eva Brock. She was 70-something years old, and she owned the place. And I start telling her our story, you know, how we were druggies, we got saved, we sold everything. We left Kentucky. We came out here. I got a job today. And I said, "Need a place to live." And she's like, "Where's your wife?" I said, "She's in the car." She said, "Go get her." So Mitzi came in, and we're talking to Eva Brock, and she says, "Listen, I have a two-story house with a full basement. The basement has 3 bedrooms, a kitchen, a den with a fireplace, and a full utility room." She said, "You can stay there until you get your feet on the ground." So that day, I had the best paying job I'd ever had in my life, and we had a free place to live.
We were there for, I guess, a few months when he started listening to Andrew on the radio.
The place that I was working, I had a friend. We would ride around in a truck, and we would listen to Christian radio all the time. We were riding down the road one day, and we were listening to this preacher on the radio, and he said, "You know, God can't do everything." I'm like, "What?" And we looked at each other, and he said, and I reached over and I turned up the radio knob. He said, "That's right, God can't do everything. He can't lie." I'm like, "Wow, I like this guy." So I listened to him, and it was Andrew Womack. And so we're like, "Hey," I went home and I told Mitzi, I said, "Let's check this guy out," because I really liked hearing him on the radio.
Rick has heard that Andrew was going to be in town. He's going to be in Denver at Holiday Inn, and he said, "Let's go." So I said, "Okay, great." And we went, and it was just a wonderful meeting. It was like nothing we'd ever really experienced it. The gifts were in operation, and prophecies, and we just were like, "Wow, this guy knows God." I mean, he talks to God. And these tremendous things happened in his meetings. People were being healed, and we didn't know people got healed, and they were being spirit-filled, and we didn't know what that was, and we were just in awe.
Andrew delivered the message, and at the end, he called for people to come up for prayer. He laid hands on me and prayed for me, and the presence of God just came all over me, and I was just weeping, and I was really ministered to. And I went back to my seat.
And the guy sat behind us asked Rick if he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Rick said, I don't even know what it is.
I said, if God wants me to have a baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's what I want. Because I want whatever God has for me is what I want. And so he prayed for me, and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
And that was really the power we needed to live for God. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit a week later. And that began our journey, and we were just getting all the free tapes we could from Andrew at the time because we had very limited funds. And those tapes were such a blessing. I can't tell you how that they fed us, they encouraged us, they helped us to be the people we are today.
Well, once we got the baptism, I mean, it was like we just became alive. We began understanding the unlimited possibilities of having the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. I'd come home from work and Mitzi said, I listened to this today and it really blessed me, and I sent him money. she would send whoever came on the radio every day. It was like she was sending money left and right.
And the Lord told Rick and I simultaneously to move to Chattanooga, Tennessee. We did. Off we went. We really stepped out in faith at that point in time. And I think that Rick couldn't get a job, and I was working at a photography studio there in Chattanooga, and it just, you know, the finances weren't coming through. I got pregnant, so we're expecting our first baby. Finally, we just thought, hey, let's go to the library. You know, we didn't have internet back then. We couldn't just Google things and look through the newspapers and see, you know, what the want ads were looking like. Tennessee was kind of, well, most of the country was in a bit of a recession then, except for Houston, Texas. And the want ads were just like phone book. I mean, it was just crazy. And we thought, man, if we can't get jobs in Houston, we can't get jobs.
Well, we drive to Houston. Everything we have is in our Volkswagen. We have $250 to our name, and we got there on Sunday night. I pick up a newspaper on Monday, and I call about a job at the Houston airport, and I interviewed on Tuesday.
And he got the job, which was amazing, in an industry we'd never even heard of. And international freight forwarding.
We still had very limited funds, and so rather than spend all of our money staying in a hotel.
So we were sleeping in our Volkswagen, and it was pretty rough, pregnant in a Volkswagen, but God, we knew he would come through. He was well able, and we just didn't worry about it.
And I went back to work the next morning, and my boss said, well, Rick, where are you living? And I said, well, I'm not living anywhere. I don't have enough money to get an apartment yet, and I wasn't going to get paid for 2 weeks. And my boss, he gave me enough money for a security deposit for an apartment and the first month's rent.
We were there for about a year, and our daughter was born, and then we moved to a small little home and where our son was born, and Rick continued to work for this freight forwarding company and learn the business.
And I hadn't been working there very long, but a couple of months, and I handled a shipment with a guy who'd been there about as long as I had, and it was a shipment to Australia, and we made really good money off of it. I mean, we made, I think it was like $7,000 or $8,000 off this shipment, and I'm like, this is the business. This I like this business. I want my own freight forwarding business.
And then, you know, he got another job opportunity with a company that was a Halliburton company. It was Van Systems. And so he learned even more about the industry.
And this particular company was an oil field service company, and they did well completions. My job was materials, and I got educated in moving explosives. I still wanted my own freight forwarding company. Finally, after I'd been at this oil field service company for about three years, this peace came over me, and I knew that the time was right to start of the freight forwarding company I wanted to have. I told my boss what I was going to do, and he said, well, come on, let's go to corporate headquarters and we'll tell the president of the division. And so I went into the president of the division of this Halliburton division, and I told him, I said, look, I enjoy the Halliburton company, I enjoy the people, I like my job, I like what I'm doing, I want to have my own freight forwarding company, and if I don't do this, I'll just get old and wonder if I ever could have made it. And the guy looked at me and he said, Rick, I know exactly what you're talking about. He said, I'll tell you what, we'll support you, and if and if it doesn't work out, you can come back and have your job back. So I left his office with my first account and a safety net that he said if it didn't work out, I could come and have my job back.
And so he asked me what I thought about it, and I said, I think it's great. I think God's well able, and, you know, we got green lights all the way around. We left that last paycheck not knowing where the next paycheck was coming from, and, you know, we started.
You know, the first day in business, my chair didn't have a back on it. Everything's disorganized. I had no organization. I had a client, but I had no money. And it was just, you know, the devil started working on my head. And I went home that night, and I couldn't sleep. I was just walking the floor, and I had these visions of my kids standing out on the road, little pie plates, you know, beating them with a spoon, saying, Daddy, we're hungry, we're starving, and all this stuff. And God stopped me, and he said, I gave you this business as a blessing and not a curse. And ever after that, my philosophy is work hard and trust God, and I put the effort into the business, and I trust God to help me and to make it work.
We started in very small beginnings. I'd answer the phone when Rick had to do anything in the warehouse, and I had a baby on one leg and a baby on a hip, and I'd be like, "Good morning, Pro Cargo," and he'd transfer the calls over to the house. So it was kind of a makeshift operation.
The business started growing. I had this Halliburton division as my first client, and it grew very rapidly. We have an office in Houston, we have an office in New York, we have an office in Dubai, we have an office in Toronto, and then we've started a wholesale company that also has an office in Houston, and it has an office in Toronto. Like I said, my business philosophy is to work hard and trust God, and we actually, as believers who are in the business world, have an unfair advantage over companies who just work in the natural, because Mitzi laughs at me, but I tell her, I said, I have found the key to success in life. The key to success in life is always make the right decision. And then they go, oh, yeah, well, always make the right decision. Yeah, sure. But you know something? If we have the mind of Christ, which the Bible says we do, and if we have the wisdom of God, which the Bible says we do, then why couldn't we, if we inquire of the Lord, why can't we make those right decisions? And I think it's the time that we go wrong in business, when we go wrong in our lives, is when we fail to inquire of the Lord. And I can say that the successes that we've enjoyed in business are because when I've inquired of the Lord, or we've inquired jointly of the Lord, and he's directed us and shown us the way to go. Because a lot of times there's a way it looks like the right thing to do, but it doesn't have a good outcome. But God's way always has a good outcome, and it's always a win-win.
You know, I thank God that Andrew was in our life at the time he was, and that he's still preaching the same message today that he was then. He never gets off track. He puts one foot in front of the other and keeps his eyes on the Lord and stays steadfast and faithful to the things that God gives him to do. And you can trust that it's a ministry that's always going to be, even in end times, producing a harvest.
You know what? When we first got on fire for God, it was like we gave to everything. Mitzi would give to every minister, and whatever we saw, and we would just give. And then it was like when we got settled into church, we were taught about tithes and offerings, and we began to restrict ourselves to the 10%. And then the question was, is it 10% on the gross? Is it 10% on the net? And it was just like, well, okay, it's on the gross. Okay, fine. And so, you know, you start fine-tuning it. And now it's like we've pushed that aside. And we actually set goals for ourselves to give in excess of what we've done before. And then we pray and we ask God and where to direct it, or what he would have us give.
And we just kept giving and giving. We never, ever questioned, you know, shouldn't we give? Because the more we gave, the more God blessed us. And we were thrilled to be givers. I really think that we had a gift of giving on our lives, even though we didn't know it at the time. But we understood early on through Andrew's teaching and others that it was God's money, and whatever came your way, that we were just to be good stewards of that money. So we always let the money just flow from us to wherever God directed. And the more we wrote checks and blessed ministries and different organizations and people, the more God filled up, our bank account. So it was just an ongoing thing. I want everybody to know you cannot outgive God. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. If you give it all away tomorrow and you know it's God, He'll make sure that you have more than enough the following days. And in strange ways, may not be ways that you may think, but it's fun giving. It's not a burden. It's joy. It's a pleasure. And I would challenge everybody out there listening to give beyond what you think you can. Because if you, God says, test me now, try me now and see. I don't have a blessing for you, or I will open up the windows and pour out a blessing. And he so will.
The secret to success for Rick and Mitzi began with accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But it also included turning to Him for guidance every day. As Rick said, work hard and trust God. It's only through a trusting and true relationship with our Heavenly Father that anyone can be assured of making all the right moves.
Isn't that awesome? I tell you, praise God for what Jesus can do in your life. Here's a couple that just had nothing. Many of you probably could relate to the poverty and the struggles that they had, but some of you can't relate to the blessing because you haven't come to the same place of believing that God is your source and, like Rick said, just making right choices because you depend upon God and let God direct you. I tell you, God is smarter than you. The Lord will lead you into prosperity if you will follow His guidelines. And you start by following the guidelines that whatever you have in your hand, God asks you to give off of that. And I tell you, if you would start being faithful and following the instructions of the Lord and follow His guidelines, what God did for Rick and Mitzi Pudlow, He would do for you. God is no respecter of persons. God is their source. This is God's blessing. God can be your source, but you're going to have to cooperate with what the Word of God says. And that's the reason I've been teaching on this. I have all of these materials. This exact video that you saw today about the Pudlows, this is on this new DVD that we have out. We have a brand new book out entitled Financial Stewardship. We have a study guide, about a 200 to 300-page study guide that goes along with this so that you can teach Bible studies and things. We have a DVD that was taken directly from our television programs with these testimonies on it, and we also have an audio CD series. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information about how you can get all of these products. I encourage you to please call or write today and request these materials.
When Andrew and Jamie were young, they went to a conference on biblical prosperity. They desperately wanted to get the teaching, but simply could not afford it. Andrew promised God that if he was ever in a position to make his teaching available, he would never deny it to someone for lack of funds.
And that's what motivated me really to give, is the fact that he gives his stuff away.
Our hearts are just tied with what Andrew's doing, what he's trying to accomplish.
The partnership is helping do what I can't do.
I know that I'm a part of something so big.
And my gifts can help reach the nations and the people. Whoever has ears to hear, they will hear.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get both the book and the study guide as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship series on your choice of CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program, the book, the study guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. The entire package has a catalog value of $114, but today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Make sure to specify the CD or DVD when you order. The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Unjust Steward, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the Better Way to Worship Conference, April 25th through the 27th, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, May 5th through the 6th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock of Atlanta, May 13th, ending the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Conference, June 1st through the 4th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I have never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.
If we have the mind of Christ, which the Bible says we do, and if we have the wisdom of God, which the Bible says we do, then why couldn't we, if we inquire of the Lord, why can't we make those right decisions? And I think it's the time that we go wrong in business, when we go wrong in our lives is when we fail to inquire of the Lord. I can say that the successes that we've enjoyed in business are because when I've inquired of the Lord, or we've inquired jointly of the Lord, and He's directed us and shown us the way to go. Because a lot of times there's a way it looks like the right thing to do, but it doesn't have a good outcome. But God's way always has a good outcome, and it's always a win-win.
From hippies to international business owners, check out Rick and Mitzi Pudlow's financial story. Log on to awmi.net, look to the left, and click on Ministry News. Then click on today's news story. Find out what's happening with the world changers at Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today.